death to relationships. How many marriages have been ruined because of the conception of lust and temptation? How many families have been destroyed because of the conception of lust and temptation? How many people have been fired from jobs because of the lust conceiving with temptation? Think back to the young man, that he was like an animal caught in a trap, waiting to be killed. And my prayer today is that if you're sitting here, and there's still time, some of you are sitting there right now and you're already in the trap. You're already caught in the trap and you're just waiting for the hunter to come and shoot the arrow through your heart. But some of you haven't gotten to that point yet. I just want to let you know, you can make a decision today. You can turn around today. You can have victory today. That you don't have to be the result or allow the results of sin and death to operate in your life. This is a powerful thing. This is powerful, saints. And man, if we can just see, and again, just look at people today and how many lives are being ruined. I mean, utterly ruined because of the conception of temptation.
Welcome to the Anchored in Jesus radio program, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. Thank you for joining us today for Temptation, Where Did the Young Man Go Wrong? From our series, Let's Get Personal About Your Issues. So let's join Dr. Glaze for Temptation, Where Did the Young Man Go Wrong?
That lie. I need a little help here. I need a little help. All right. Well, why do they lie? Because of temptation. Because you've done something, maybe that you want to cover up, and then what's out there? There's a lie that's out there that's tempting you, that's calling your name, that's saying, use me, use me, use me. And people choose. They embrace that. They act upon. So I don't want anybody here to think that they're above and beyond temptation. You know, as a pastor, you know, I realize the severity and the reality of temptation. And so I don't minimize that in my life. And I would hope and pray that you don't minimize it in your life. See, that's why you can't fool around with this stuff. This is a fire. We looked at a verse a couple weeks ago in Proverbs. It said, can a man take fire to his bosom and not be burned? Can you walk across hot coals and your feet not be burned? It's not going to happen. So when you open up the door just a little bit, and that's all that temptation needs. Temptation needs just a little crack. And you know what? It's just going to ease right on in there. And then the next thing you know, you're going to be overwhelmed by it. The allurement of temptation. James chapter 1, he says here, verse 14, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Two words that are used here. The first word that's used is drawn away. This word, drawn away, you know what it was used? It was used, can I take this? I got to move around or something. No, it's not coming off. Y'all got me locked in this morning. I done messed up the only thing that I had. But we'll get it working. All right, give me a little bit of freedom here. Drawn away. This was a term that was used by hunters. This Greek word, It actually meant to set a trap. And as you set the trap, that the animal would be lured to the trap. And again, that's what temptation does. Temptation is something that's attractive, it's appealing, and it's desirable. And it just calls your name. Like that trap calls that animal. The second term, enticed. And James is very systematic as he uses these terms. The second term is enticed. And this was a fishing term, and it referred to bait that was used to catch fish. Now, I'm not much of a fisherman, but when you put the bait on the end of the hook, there are some things that the fish won't touch. So you got to be smart enough to know what it is that will attract the fish. You got to be smart enough to know what it is that will attract that fish to come and take the bait. Well, let me let you know this. Satan is very smart. He is very shrewd, and he is very crude. And he knows what it takes to get you. He knows what you desire. He knows what's pleasurable to you. And as I've said from this pulpit many a times before, he cares. He's like Hallmark. He cares only enough to send the very best. He's not going to come looking like some hideous monster from Friday the 13th or Jason. If he came like that, you would know. And you would see it. And you would turn around and you would run the other way. But when he comes, the Bible says he comes as an angel of light. That he's going to present himself as something so fine and so sweet and so good looking and so desirable that it's just going to have you going. And then the next thing you know, you're going to be. I heard about a flower that has bright colored petals and it's very pretty and it attracts a lot of insects. But the problem with this flower is that on the flower is a thin coating of some sticky substance. So that as insects are attracted to the flower, the beauty of the flower, and they land on the flower, they get stuck. But that's not the half of it. The other half is this flower that when the insect begins to struggle and move around to try to free itself, that the flower senses the insect doing that, and then the petal closes up. And that's the way temptation is. It lures you, and then when you begin to touch it, and then you might even see that I need to get out of here. And then you begin to pull in and go back, pull in and go back. Next thing you know, it just closes up on you and swallows you up. And so James is very descriptive when he uses these two terms here to describe the allurement of temptation. It's like a trap set for an animal, and it's like bait that's set for a fish. What are the results of temptation? James 1:15 says this: when lust hath conceived, it brings forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. What are the results of temptations? Two things: sin and death. And notice the word that James uses here. He uses the word conceived. Now, when we think of conception, what do we think of? Childbirth. This is deep. He says, when temptation, which is the outward draw, watch this, and lust, which is the inward desire, that when temptation and lust have a child, they when they unite and they have a child, What is the result of that union? Sin. Sin. There's never any good that comes out of giving into temptation. That when lust and temptation unite and they bear a child, what is that child? That child is sin. And that is wrong in the eyes of God. But not only that, probably even sadder than that is the fact that it results in death. Now, when lust and temptation come together, a person doesn't just roll over and die. So when it says death, what is it talking about? It's talking about death to your relationship with God. Wow. Wow. That you can be the most vibrant. I've seen some of the most spirit-filled and vibrant Christians. I've seen preachers that when lust and temptation came together, it brought death to their relationship with God. No longer able to hear the voice of God, no longer sensitive to the will of God, no longer seeking God. It brought death. But even more tragic when you think about it, that when lust and temptation conceive, it not only brings forth sin, it brings forth death. It brings forth death to relationships. How many marriages have been ruined because of the conception of lust and temptation? How many families have been destroyed because of the conception of lust and temptation? How many people have been fired from jobs because of the lust conceiving with temptation? Think back to the young man, that he was like an animal caught in a trap, waiting to be killed. And my prayer today is that if you're sitting here, and there's still time, some of you are sitting there right now and you're already in the trap. You're already caught in the trap and you're just waiting for the hunter to come and shoot the arrow through your heart. But some of you haven't gotten to that point yet. I just want to let you know, you can make a decision today. You can turn around today. You can have victory today. That you don't have to be the result or allow the results of sin and death to operate in your life. This is a powerful thing. This is powerful, saints. And man, if we can just see, and again, just look at people today and how many lives are being ruined. I mean, utterly ruined because of the conception of temptation and lust. And it's time for you to change this road that you're on. So how do we do that in the brief time that I have left? Let me share with you a couple of things that you can do. First of all, in preparation for temptation, put on the armor of God. Put on the armor. You know what? I can't say it anymore. Now, in case you don't know what the armor of God is, I did a whole series on the armor of God. I mean, I broke down every piece of the armor. And if you don't know what it is and you don't know how it works, then you need to get that series. Or at least email me and I'll send you the notes from that series. If you're going to beat temptation, you got to put on the armor of God. We have coming up a Life Quest this summer. They're going to be studying the armor of God. So if you don't understand the armor of God, Tony Evans is going to do a good job explaining the armor of God to you. Now, sometimes, we were at a biblical counseling conference this past weekend. And some of the stuff that they put up there, they made comment to the fact that, this stuff right here is simple. This is something, this is not anything deep, or this is no new revelation. There's no new insight on this. But you know what? These are things that you just need to be reminded of. And as I sat there, I mean, at first thought in my mind, I said, well, you know, that stuff is all 101. But then it's not 101 if you're not doing it. So you need to be reminded. So put on the armor of God is 101. But if you're not doing it, then you need to be reminded of it. The second thing, be on the lookout for temptation. You need to look out for temptation. And not only look out for temptation, but you need to pray that God does not let you enter into temptation. What did Jesus tell the disciples in Mark 14:38? He said, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. See, no plan is a plan to fail. That if you're not making a plan to say that I'm looking for temptation in my life. You know, I've been on this earth 57 years. Some of you been on this earth longer than me. And you know what? I might get blindsided every now and then, but I pretty much know where the temptations are going to come from. And so do you. You have some idea where temptations will come from in your life. And so you need to pray and you need to watch. You need to say, Father, I pray that the very minute that I begin to wander into temptation, that you would let me know. You can be tempted by the magazines that come to your house from JCPenney and from Macy's. All you got to do is look in there. And so you start looking in there, right? Next thing you know, you stop it on one page longer than another. What did Jesus say? Watch and pray. So if you're watching and praying, you know, as you're looking there, looking through the magazine for some new power tools, right? And all of a sudden something comes up that's not a power tool, then because you're watching and praying, oh my goodness. See, but if you're not watching and praying, what do we say? It's like a trap set for an animal, and it's like bait set for a fish. It'll just suck you in. It'll just draw you in. It'll just draw you in. And there's no place easier to do it than on your computer. That so many little innocent things pop up that, you know, advertisement for this or advertisement for that. And you know, the sad thing is that it's just a click away. And then the next thing you know, man, you open up a whole new world. Lust and temptation. When they conceive, they bring forth sin, and sin brings forth death. Jesus said, watch and pray. Use the word of God. How did Jesus defeat the temptation of the devil? He defeated the temptation of the devil in one way, and that is every time the devil threw up a temptation, Jesus quoted the word of God. Every time he quoted the word of God. And so that's why you need to get in the word of God. And if you know where your weaknesses are, you know what I would do if I was you? If you know where you're particularly susceptible, what I would do, I would get a bunch of scriptures in that area and I would memorize those scriptures. And then every time you are tempted, I would bring that scripture to mind. I would quote that scripture. And when you quote that scripture, it's unbelievable the power that God will bring in your life as you quote the word of God. And so we need to use the word of God in temptation. Now, here goes one that a lot of people don't realize. That if you're a Christian, let me tell you something. If you're a Christian and you find yourself in temptation, 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, well, let me turn there and read it. All right, 1 Corinthians, because you need to hear this one right here. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13. And it says this. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as common to man. Now look at this. Somebody, let this get in somebody's heart. But God is faithful, who will not permit you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make the way to escape, that you might be able to bear it. That there is a way of escape. You often think about people that go to the no-tell hotel, right? Now just think of all the things that you got to do to go to the no-tell hotel. You got to get a reservation, and God is saying, here's your way out. You got to get in your car. God is saying, here's your way out. You got to drive every red light. God is saying, here's your way out. Here's your way out. Here's your way out. You got to go to the front desk. God is saying, here's your way out. You got to get the key. God is saying, here's your way out. You got to go to the room and stand before the door. And God is saying, for the last time, here's your way out. That no temptation has taken you, such as is common to man, but God is faithful. God loves you so much that he doesn't want to see you sin. That God loves you so much that he is faithful and he will give you a way out. But the thing is, you can't be like the horse with the blinders on, just walking straight ahead. You got to look for God's way out. My heart is heavy this morning because I just feel that there are people who are dealing with this issue, and you're getting ready to be like that young man caught in the trap. Last thing, use all the spiritual resources to stand underneath the load of temptation and not give in to it. James chapter 1, and I'm done. James chapter 1. In verse 12, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. This word endureth comes from the Greek word hupomenes. You say, okay, Pastor, there you go. There you go again. Let me break it down for you. Hupo is under. Menace means to abide. It means to abide underneath the load. My example here is always the burrow. How that you see those burrows, those Juan Valdez burrows, and how that they load package after package after package on the burrow, and the burrow just stands there. Legs don't shake, legs don't bend. It just stands up underneath the load. That's what James is saying here. Blessed is the man who stands up underneath the load of temptation. Blessed is the one who temptation comes upon them and the load of temptation becomes so heavy, but through it all, they have taken all the resources that God has given them, all the spiritual resources that God has given them, and they have this uncanny ability to be able to keep on standing when the average person would fall. James says, blessed is the man who endureth temptation. And that endurance comes through building up your spiritual life. So hopefully, no one here is like the person waiting in the trap.
Thank you for joining us today on the Anchored in Jesus radio program. Tune in next time for the first half of Sickness, How to Have Victory in the Midst of Sickness. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's teaching, Temptation, Where Did the Young Man Go Wrong? You can contact us here at the Anchored in Jesus radio program by calling 877-831-5060 and request Temptation, Where Did the Young Man Go Wrong? Again, that's 877-831-5060 and request Temptation. Where did the young man go wrong? If you would like to make a financial contribution to the program, you can send it to the Anchored in Jesus radio program, 7745 Tioga Street, Pittsburgh, PA 15208. That's the Anchored in Jesus radio program, 7745 Tioga Street, Pittsburgh, PA 15208. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, is taken from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.